What does it mean to make Facebook private? Is the world actually ready for an Apple to be run on subscriptions? And will Paramount Pictures fix Sonic's problems? You're listening to This Tech, a podcast from Pretzel Studios. Hi, I'm Anthony.
And I'm Charles. I was really ready for you to say, hey, I'm Charles, for some reason.
Charles.
There you go. I fulfilled your dream.
There we go. I'm a 12-year-old all of a sudden because of Discord's bad...
Yeah, Discord for some reason made his voice higher for
I don't understand how a slight dip in the internet connection makes your voice go higher.
I don't understand either, but I sent you a video of it, so that's
the proof. Yeah, and I watched it, and I don't sound like an actual 12-year-old. I think 12-year-olds have, in addition to just having a higher pitch, like younger kids also... Like the timbre. Anyways, I'm not gonna like spend the next 45 minutes analyzing
speech
patterns. Just
please go over how 12-year-olds go.
Anyways, look, we've been gone for a while. If you, I don't even think I put it on Twitter. I kind of was very out of it. I broke three bones.
Yeah, this idiot broke his wrists.
I broke both of my radiuses and my kneecap. Mountain biking. It wasn't the smartest thing that I've ever done in my life.
What did you do?
Was biking down some stairs, okay?
Yeah, you sent me a fantastic picture of your bike on some stairs.
It was great, okay? I have very little regrets in life.
Very little.
This is one of them. Okay, we're going to move on from Charles' stupidity.
That sounds very sad. Yeah, it's been like 3 weeks.
It's actually an interesting situation, though, because when I was looking through the docs today, and there was the episode 10 doc that we never got to use. And I was looking through it, and that was the week of Apple's last event, at which they announced a bajillion services. And now we are seeing their second quarterly financial results for 2019. And hilariously, services revenue is way up, and iPhone sales continues to be down. So listen, I don't really think I've never really been that interested in like analyzing a ton of numbers. So I don't want to just do that on this. If you want to hear all the numbers read to you, there's this really cool thing called the recording of Apple's quarterly earnings call that you can listen to. You can listen to Tim Apple read all those numbers to you. Actually, not. No. The other guy reads all the numbers to you. But yeah, and then there's the robotic lady who's like, our first question comes from... Anyways, I love listening to those in my free time, by the way. Even like the ones from like years ago. It's like, it's a great podcast listening to earnings calls from companies. Oh, Teslas are also really funny. Those are... Anyways, notable this year, iPhone sales... down again from last quarter or the same quarter last year. Total net sales is down, which not as much though. And wearables, home, and accessories, which were combined, is up.
I see.
And then iPads also up, but not as much from what I can see.
Not as much up.
Mac is down, but not as much down as wait. Can I do math? Yeah, Mac is down, but nowhere near down as much as iPhone. What I still find hilarious is that iPhone literally still more than 50% of Apple's revenue. But this is just... So here's my situation.
What's the other like big part of it?
And services
like
is way up.
Stuff?
What?
Is Apple Music a big portion of that?
Apple Music is $11,000 of 58,000. So that's under wearables.
Okay, how much is that?
Wearables is 5,000, so 1/12 ish.
Wait, $5,000 for
5,000 million, you dumb dumb.
Oh, 5,000 million?
No, Apple only made $58,000 in one quarter.
I know, that's okay.
Go home, you're drunk. 5
billion. No, I knew. Okay.
This is like the worst. The title of this episode is Millions, You Dumb Dumb. It has been a while since we've looked at this. So anyways, though, here's my hilarious thing, though. Obviously, we know that iPhone sales are dropping, which is hilarious. Actually, mm-hmm. recently, the last quarter, both Verizon and AT&T also reported record lows for smartphone upgrades. And we obviously have been hearing for a while now that the Apple is having issues selling the current iPhones. There's a few things I would like to draw here. First of all, I would like to back up my assertion that I made back when this year's iPhones were released, which was that Apple didn't release a new iPhone. Because as we see here, they released new Macs, new AirPods, new services, and new iPads, and all of those are up. And iPhone is down because they didn't release a new iPhone. It's just like, it's the worst analysis I've ever done, but it actually kind of makes sense when you think about it. And it's hilarious because in past years, right, the S series has always been like the one that people go for, right? So the question here is why this year, Apple's obviously given us a bunch of what seems like excuses, but after we're also seeing like record lows from like carriers, which presumably includes a little bit of help from Android, you know, Android updates not being slow, mm-hmm. upgrades being slow. I said updates. Android updates are always slow. Well, just like, have we peaked? Have we reached like peak smartphone or what's the deal?
I mean, I'm sure we have not peaked in smartphone. How's the Galaxy Fold doing, by the way?
I mean, that's not good. Also, I would just like to point out that the iPhone beat everyone by years to foldable phones with the iPhone 6, as we all remember.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But this is a serious question, though, because I think I did a little bit of analysis, and I don't want to just repeat the entire episode from last September, but I would say, if I recall correctly, my two theories were along the lines of the iPhone XS really doesn't add much to the iPhone X like the S series always has. I mean, it adds speed, but it adds a few features, but for the most part, it's like, who cares about a slightly better HDR? People don't really seem to care about HDR that much anyways, from what I experience. People kind of just like point their phone at things and kind of, for the most part, like in dark situations, people don't expect to have amazing photos as long as they can actually see something. Right, like that's my thing. And like at the end of the day, it really seems like, I mean, like, honestly, the fact that I'm having issues rolling off of my tongue the upgrades on this year's iPhones compared to my iPhone in my pocket really goes to show, mm-hmm. like, how little people actually care. I mean, because, like, honestly, do you have that extra antenna band, which is the only reason that I remember that they did something to the LTE radios? I think it supports gigabit internet in, like, some areas, but, like, that literally doesn't apply anywhere that I've seen, because like LTE is supposed to be way more capable than what I'm ever able to pull over my network anyway, because the network's always congested anyway. And like apart from that, so it's like issues like that. And so mm-hmm. like, unless there's colors, the iPhone X didn't come in the gold, right? Whatever the hell they're calling it nowadays. I don't just like, that's my question. Cause like if they weren't able to do anything, and then the other thing was they added more speed, but my ongoing theory is that speed increases matter less and less nowadays than they did like 10 years ago. So then my second issue here is we basically say, follow some rough math here. Last year we had roughly $10,000, 10,000 million, that is, in services. And this year, Apple saw 11.5. And for the sake of this math, I'll round up to 12. So we basically increased about 2,000 million in 1 year by adding Apple News Plus, right? So mm-hmm. as iPhone sales continue to decline, obviously iPhone sales are never going to vanish. But I'm predicting at this rate, iPhone sales, what do you think? Do you think iPhone sales could drop to like half of what they currently are?
No.
Just like throwing.
Not a chance, because they're going to release a new phone in the future, and I'm sure that will do well.
Do you think like that do you think that the 2020 iPhone is going to do like insanely well? Because this year, I mean, like we're talking like 40,000 million.
Huh. 40,000 like million.
So like 33% increase.
I mean, I don't know.
For this quarter, that is. I mean, like the and the upgrade quarters are obviously very different, but I don't know. Do you think like after this, do you think because the one of the funny things is Apple actually said that trade-ins, their trade-in program was doing like better than ever. But I don't think that really has to do with the fact that they're selling more iPhones, but more the fact that they're just advertising their trade-in program more. I don't know. I'm very honestly, this whole iPhone business is very complicated because the numbers are so massive.
It is very complicated.
And they cover so many different markets as well. And like when you get right down to it, there's like a million different markets and they each have, I mean, like even here, like we have the issue in America where people like, honestly, it's my personal belief that people just like, people really didn't see that big of a need to upgrade from last year's iPhone. Or really, I would like to say if you had an iPhone 8, you were fine without upgrading to this year's iPhones. Sevens and everything before it, you start to get into the range of like you have an old enough phone that's like probably getting enough wear into it, physical wear, and it's also starting to slow down a lot. And there's like that personal, you can like justify it, which I think is like something that people don't take for, I don't know. It's just something that I like we don't talk about enough, but like some people just like can't stand. They like feel like they're wasting money basically when they have to buy a new phone every single year, right? Some people have that. And so like I think here in the US we had the issue of they didn't add much to it. Whereas in China, people who in China, we've seen that a lot of the lock-in features of the iPhone don't really apply as much there, especially, namely iMessage, because iMessage and a few other things, because they have WeChat and other services that completely just cover that, whether you're switching and allow you to switch to Android. And you also have a lot of Android players there who are a lot cheaper and much more respected in China because they're Chinese companies, right?
Yeah.
And I think that you get a little bit of, I mean, trust honestly earned in Chinese companies when you live in China and over Apple over here. Even though I don't think there's anything wrong with either of those companies. That being said, Huawei just had a scandal this last week, but that's a separate, that's completely separate. And I could spend the entire podcast time. Back doors were found in their networking hardware, basically confirming the US government's suspicions. Because if we talked about this a while ago, right? Remember, rural broadband carriers want to like use Huawei equipment because it's so much cheaper. But the US government was like, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't use Chinese hardware for your, right?
That's scary.
Like, yeah. If iPhone sales get cut in half, that's like 15,000 that's being lost. And then they, by launching one service, they went up 2,000 in services. So are we ready for Apple to have like a million $10 a month services? Possibly more, because as I've mentioned before, I highly doubt that their Game Pass equivalent basically is going to be $10 a month.
Yeah, it's probably going to do all right, but in some aspects, not all right at all. Like, it really depends on the service.
I mean, this is more about like a personal like feeling. Like, would you buy into, would you personally even have multiple services from, of all the services that they announced, because we never got to do this because I broke my wrist.
Can you list off the services?
Are you actually important? Are you actually interested in?
List off a couple.
Oh, you don't remember. So they launched Apple News Plus.
Apple News.
Immediately. And now we're expecting Apple TV Plus, which is movies and TV originals. Apple Arcade, which is their Game Pass equivalent, and then Apple Card. Okay. Those are the main ones.
So Apple Arcade, is that like you get free games? Or is it like...
It's a subscription service and for exclusives. Yeah. on Mac, okay. tvOS, iPad, iOS.
That's interesting. I think the Mac game things, the Mac games thing could be good for like iPad users because, you know, not really a phone thing.
I have no doubt that Arcade has a big enough target audience. I just don't believe that like the iPad and the iOS gaming ecosystem does well because
yes.
there are freemium games available
I feel like the
for
point
you to
of
give
it
to your
that
toddler in a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. It's for children.
Yeah.
And I don't if you want to play anything crazier, yeah. then you're probably going to be playing for like an Xbox. Maybe they're exactly. going to be like, oh, hey, mom, give me the subscription. And they'll be like, okay, whatever, because they get like a new iPad. So I think they might get some sucker kids
happening.
Into it.
I see kid gets an iPad for their birthday. First of all, mom is like, this iPad better last you 6 years, right? And it's like, or they get a hand-me-down iPad, in which case is like, well, if you break it into years, then it's already done 6 years. But then, like, kids don't, I don't see, unless you're like.
Here's my opinion on it.
Racking up on that chores money. I don't see
yeah.
a kid doing like a $45, right, like $45 a quarter for, or whatever they end up pricing yeah. it at for Apple Arcade. Especially when there are so many free games alongside. I mean, that's the other thing.
For
Game
sure.
Pass
There's
does
so
really
many
well.
Free games.
Game Pass does really well because it has, it's next to Xbox, normal price Xbox games. And it's like, well, here are all these games that normally cost
so
this
many
much,
great games.
And we're going to give them all like to you for the price the of one of them games per month. Whereas the App Store is going to be like, you're going to go to the App Store and you're going to have Candy Crush listed next to an ad for Apple Arcade. And it's going to be like, what? Right? Like, you see
yeah,
the issue
exactly.
there?
I do see the issue. I also think that the main way Apple should definitely go about this is by like getting sponsors to show it off for these kids, because I think definitely the main audience for this is like kids and like, you know, children who...
Some
don't
of the games definitely had
things.
More complex storylines from what we saw. But
okay, well, yeah,
I think
there's definitely going to be, like, the complex, like the hardcore phone gamers who just want to, like, you know, relax, play some games on their phones. But then,
I just
you know,
don't
normal
believe
people
that anybody
aren't
wants
be doing
to,
this.
I just don't believe that, if, because at the end of the day, iOS gaming is a very passive thing. And I don't believe that people actually want to commit that much money to it. For the same reason that like freemium games
That's
have to be
I
so aggressive in getting you to do in-app like, purchases, because you aren't that interested in spending money on them in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly. My brother has an iPad and he's always on it. So I think that it's like a good example of like you give a
and
kid
how many
this
paid
thing
games does he have on that iPad?
Like none.
Exactly.
He has like Minecraft.
Yeah. And then like,
so that's why I think they need some influence to buy it. Like they're not going to know about it unless it's like shown on like YouTube or something. So they get sponsors or some sort of way to make it stand out, like extra features in all these games. It's like, okay,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
they're
just
going to
like put it in the App Store and they're going to get a lot of it that way.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
that's
like,
the thing.
If
no
they can
kid
shape
is going to
these...
read through the App Store. Like, oh, hey,
you just like cut out on Discord. Are you there? Hello?
Huh?
Hello?
What's up?
You just cut out on Discord and then you stopped talking.
No, I didn't.
The frick?
I just wasn't talking.
Your internet's bad. Okay, as I was saying, I mean, here's my other issue. So there, one of the things is there's family sharing in all of... Apple kept on reiterating these things. First of all, Apple really cares about privacy for all their for everything, and so they're going to bring that to their services. Also, family sharing. So, like, you can share Apple News Plus, I believe, already. And you can share, theoretically, Apple Arcade. So, I definitely see a lot more, like, you pay one price for the entire family per month. And then there's a library of games that includes games that appeal to all generations of people. So that the person paying for it can enjoy it as well as kids. So I see that less of an issue. My big issue here is still that that's like 15,000 units. I'm just going to say $1 million, one unit. I'm going with it. 15,000 units that Apple's going to make have to make up if the iPhone gets down to even. I mean, because even 15,000 is still three times the amount of money that they make on Mac. Every year. I mean, like, that's a lot, but like, seriously, I still believe at this rate, like, my iPhone 10, I seriously, like, When I think about my relationship with my phone, I actually used to be in the camp of, you know, I'm going to have to replace my phone in a year or two. But now this iPhone 10, I just don't like, I paid $1,000 for it. It actually, like, I don't even use all of the features on it from a day-to-day basis. I mean, to be honest, nobody does. I wake up in the morning, I open Snapchat, which uses the camera, every single phone going back, like, honestly, like, I have a SE over there, and despite the, and besides the screen being really small, and then not having Face ID and having Touch ID, which my fingers hate, and Touch ID just never worked for me, besides, like, Face ID, I don't, like, do you actually, have you used the dual cameras to take a portrait photo in the past week?
No.
Have you sent an Animoji in the last week? Have you watched an HDR video in the last week? I have 64 gigabytes of storage, and I haven't even...
HDR, maybe, but...
What HDR?
I don't know.
You watching iTunes movies on your phone?
No, but...
I think you can watch HDR on YouTube on the iPhone. All right, whatever. That's like, so like the point is,
does Netflix have HDR?
I don't think on iPhone. Maybe. Okay, unclear. I don't know. So like,
I don't use any.
I expect
of those
other this thing to last me like a few years, especially.
Okay.
And so like, I fully expect iPhone sales to be coming down, and that's like nothing new. Analysts have been saying that for like a while now, which is why they were so, analysts were so into the services, and it went up like 2,000 units. Again, I'm going with it, which is like fine, but we're going to have to see a lot more. And like, they just added news right now, which presumably I would like to believe that actually, like, when you think about it, though, which is going to be more successful, a news subscription service or a gaming subscription service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, it's like if they went up 2,000 in a quarter, or, well, in 1 year, by adding news, then what is going to happen once they, A, own end-to-end, basically, payment processing with Apple Card, and they own, because, right, they're taking money there on the Apple Pay side and on the card processing side now, but they're also giving some of that money back to you, but it's complicated. They're going to be making more money there, obviously. They're going to be making money on arcade and on TV, although TV also like takes, they're pouring billions of money into TV right now. So, I mean, how many services are they going to have to make, though, to make up for that? And then the second, this is the reason that I'm really wondering, are people ready for an Apple that runs on services? Is we've seen already with Apple Music, Apple is literally breaking its own rules with notifications, especially sending people unsolicited notifications. Like, have you used Apple? Do you use Apple Music?
No.
They sent you a notification for Scorpion. They sent notifications for, they used to send them for Planet of the Apps. It's just like, it's really annoying. And then
that's weird.
In when they added the Apple Care Plus thing, like, accidental loss, the loss and theft thing, they also added a thing to iOS where now for the first 60 days that you own your phone, it like bugs you in settings. You have 59, 58, 57 days left to add Apple Care Plus. And then they, so that's like bugging you in settings. And then they, I mean, like, Apple Music is all over the iTunes store.
Go on.
I think we should move on. I would like to talk about Facebook real quick.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Because this is actually, when you think about it, today's podcast is all about companies shifting their profiles, basically. So Facebook at F8, you should have watched the live stream. And if you haven't, this is what you should do, because I know everyone listens to this podcast driving in their car. So you're on your commute, just pull over to the side of the car, be safe, pull over to the side of the road in your car, be safe, go to F8, go to Facebook F8, whatever the heck it is. And just watch the first 5 minutes of the stream where Mark goes up there and he's like, we're beginning the shift to making Facebook a privacy focused company. Mm-hmm. And it was just like crickets in the room. And he was like, now I know we're not known for that, but I really think we can do great things with, I don't know. That's just like, that's not a direct quote. Please don't put that down as me saying that wasn't what Mark said. But it was like along those lines. I know we aren't known for privacy right now. That is a direct quote, which was like, it was just a great moment. And then they also had these like thirsty polls running on the side. It was like, based off of this last section of the presentation, how do you feel about Facebook now? And the options were like, I feel better about how Facebook deals with my data, and I feel the same, and I feel worse about how Facebook deals with my data. And it's like, there's actually a ton of them. It was hilarious. I would like to find one, but whatever. Yes. So it was odd. But it's here. We're seeing the beginnings of it. I think they just updated their iPhone app. I only use Facebook on my iPad. I like intentionally don't install it on my iPhone. And I haven't seen any changes on the iPhone or on the iPad app, but I've seen people using the iPhone app and they like changed it. So they're moving away from the newsfeed. They're moving to basically events and groups, which is actually hilarious. Like they say that those are the two parts that people actually like to use. I don't think I've ever seen somebody like, oh, they're going to an event, I'm going to go to it as well. First of all, how much do you use Facebook? We should just like
never, set the ground here. Never at all, ever.
I got back on it, as you guys may or may not know, a little while ago. Because it just, I mean, like, honestly, it was to the point where it was like, I'm moving away soon. And I'm going to want to have strong connections with all the people I know. And I got on Facebook and everyone was there. And it's like, I didn't have everyone on Snapchat. Everyone was on Facebook. And honestly, because I haven't had the news feeds in my life up until a few months ago, the news feed is actually pretty nice for me because it's actually like a way that I can see what my friends are up to, which is like weird because now they're moving away from that and the events and groups are taking the center stage. And I just like see somebody's going to an event on the side. I'm like, that's good for them. They're going to an event. Why would I want to go to that as well? I guess the idea is that you can meet up with them. I don't know. This groups taking center stage definitely makes a lot more sense, though. And I'm not part of any groups on Facebook right now because I haven't been on Facebook for a while, but I definitely see that. I don't know. Anyways, there's also another thing because they're putting, so on the other side is they're like putting a ton of, they're basically betting big on Messenger, which is actually hilarious because when I read like headlines, I've been reading headlines about how Facebook is redesigning for the two features that people actually use. I was thinking like one of those is Messenger, but no, Facebook still believes that Messenger is a separate project. So first of all, Messenger is like coming to Windows, which whatever. Okay. And then also I think they're making the apps like physically smaller, like by physically, I mean virtually, but whatever. They like take up less space. And they're going to be lighter. And they're going to have full end-to-end encryption, which was actually like a pretty good moment. I was like, well, if Apple can't bring iMessage to Android and spread encryption for the world, then maybe it'll be Facebook that does that. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know. But I guess if the point here is that Facebook is switching to being privacy, they're switching to being privacy minded. They're switching and they're putting more emphasis in doing things in private with friends instead of posting stuff publicly, which is what Facebook was obviously built on. Which is very weird because it allows them to say that the future is privacy, which is a slide that they had very close to the beginning of their keynote. But it doesn't mean privacy in the same way that in the same meaning of the word privacy for a company like Apple is where I'm going with this. So that's why I asked, what does it mean for a company to be based on privacy anyway?
Anyway, yes.
These are like really bad abstract essay questions on the SAT. It's like, what do you mean? What does it mean for a company to be based on privacy? But, like, that's seriously the question at this point, I think. Because
dude,
I think
why on the Facebook page is it saying connecting with your secret crush? This is terrible.
What?
New feature called secret crush.
Good job, well, Facebook. Facebook dating is probably going to get better as well because I would say a date. Well, That's actually a question, because there are some things here where it's like, for example, their dating app. The whole point of a dating app is to meet new people. How can you meet new people while staying completely private, right?
I do not know.
I don't think it's possible. So part of me, honestly, there's two things here. One of them is Facebook's going to go all in on privacy, actually give a hoot about human rights, privacy in like the human rights form, in addition to maybe emphasizing more on building, well, that's separate. So part of me thinks that they're actually going to go all in on being like private, dealing with your data like nicely, being responsible, weeding off bad developers like Cambridge Analytica, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do that because it's going to be like a stark difference from what they've been at in. And it's going to look like they're such an amazing company. And then you're going to switch to them, or maybe that'll be like their new marketing move, basically. It'll be like, look at how much we care about privacy all of a sudden, and with the implication that it's only going to get better, right? Even though obviously the best way to stay private is to just not go on Facebook, I would like to think. I mean, when it gets to the end of it, I got back on Facebook because I need to have a way to make like to stay in contact with some people when I like leave. And Facebook was also able to find me a bunch of friends that I've had, like who have moved away recently as well. And then they're moving to just groups and events, basically. Events is hilarious. They say, but groups is like, that's available on iMessage and like a million other platforms. And so if you want to stay completely private, if Facebook just moves to being just like one big group manager, then you should just stay private by staying on iMessage. Unless they just kill off newsfeed, in which case Facebook is iMessage in a way. And then wait, like, do you see what I mean there?
Yeah.
So I don't, so then the, whatever. So I guess what this comes down to, because then there was my other way, there's my other, which I alluded to earlier. My second theory is Facebook's just going to start working on more private products.
Yes, they will be.
I'm just going to edit you out every time that you cough.
That was a sneeze.
Well, whatever it was. Now they just heard that I was going to say, I said, I'm just going to edit you out every time that you sneeze, but they didn't actually hear the sneeze. They know what it was. It's not that complicated. I would like to think that our audience is actually smart enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're not.
I think there's one last time. Do you want to talk about this Intel 5G thing?
What am I talking about?
I think this is just the funniest joke in tech. I don't think there's actually much analysis to do here. This is a pretty like common phenomenon in just like business in general. So there's not that much analysis to make here other than the fact that it's just like three very big companies are fighting. But so Intel, if you may remember, for after years of legal battles, Apple and Qualcomm just like suddenly decided to stop fighting, which was a very weird situation because it's like you would think after they finally made it to trial, after paying all these lawyers so much money to like get ready for this trial, they make it to trial. And what do? They then decide that Apple's going to pay Qualcomm an undisclosed amount and Qualcomm will continue to give Apple modems. So then there were all these theories about why this was. The first one was Intel's modems weren't going to be good enough. And so Qualcomm was the only way, and they had to settle things and play nice, and so that's why. And then there was the other theory that they decided to just play nice to screw with Intel. There's like a whole bunch of, I mean, there's like a million theories. And then Bloomberg reported basically Apple had decided that Intel's modems weren't up to the task of providing 5G for the iPhone on time. So basically the only possible outcome there was Qualcomm. They had to settle their dispute with Qualcomm for the sake of the iPhone's future, basically. So then recently, like by recently, I mean the 25th. So I guess it was before we were supposed to record last week. I don't know. Intel was basically like, nope, it got out of the 5G marketplace because the Qualcomm Apple dispute ended. Do you see what I mean there?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just hilarious because that's always been my thought because first we saw the kind of, I mean, it could have been that Intel and Apple were like talking behind the scenes before they came to the agreement in the courtroom. But it always seemed like to regular people spectating, obviously, that the deal happened with Qualcomm and Apple. Mm-hmm. And then Intel was like, well, if Qualcomm's going to be providing 5G modems, then there's no point in us being in there. And Intel said, in light of the announcement of Apple and Qualcomm, we assess the prospects for us to make money while delivering this technology for smartphones included at the time that we didn't see a path. So that's kind of like, that kind of gets back to the point of the iPhone is still such a massive business that they're able to like influence Intel's business ventures with just that. I don't know. There's no like new analysis there. Everyone knows that like one big company decides to move to another company and it screws over one company in the first one. So whatever. I'm not going to try to figure out. You need to talk about Sonic.
Okay, so basically, finally, there was a trailer for the new Sonic movie, and the internet went crazy because he's terrifying. Basically, it's, what's the valley? Uncanny Valley? Yeah. They designed him to look kind of realistic, and it's terrifying, and the internet...
So they're changing
basically,
it.
Yeah, they... A lot of people were just like, why are they doing this? And the video has so many views. It skyrocketed. It's like all over the place. It was like number one trending. They're not having a good time. And they said...
To put it lightly.
Yeah, to put it very lightly. People are just not happy. There was an official statement from the developers... Or not developers, just the producers of the movie that said that they would be making their best efforts to redesign the Sonic because the internet took action and decided to... they decided to fix it themselves and it looks great and I don't know how they messed it up so bad, but they did, and it seems like it should be fixed, but I don't know how well it will be fixed. Who knows? They already messed it up enough. Do you have any input? What are your
thoughts? I'm just being a bad podcaster right now by tapping the table that my microphone is sitting on for some reason.
What are your
thoughts
on the Sonic model being so bad and the internet freaking out about it?
I'm going to be honest, I've talked about this a lot of times before, but I don't have the patience to sit through movies, certainly not Avengers Endgame, so I did not watch it.
Why didn't you watch Endgame?
I do not plan on watching it, so if you have any spoilers, please tweet them at me, because I need to actually know what happens when people ask me what I think about the movie.
I mean, I'll let you know, but not in this podcast, because I'm sure people haven't watched it. By the way, watch Endgame, it's amazing. Anyone who's listening to this.
I've heard it was 30 hours long. 30, not sure.
30? How stupid. 3.
That's the podcast. We'll see you next week, guys.
30 hours.